I've been with this piece for a while now, and I think it was probably 12 years ago when I first saw it, or when I first played it. I was recently in the location of the premiere, and it just brought back a lot of memories because I was starting to practice this piece again, and I remembered practicing it for the premiere. The Meyer Concerto is one I really haven't played for a number of years. I played it a whole bunch when it was written, and then also, you know, of course, I recorded it, and I played it several years after the recording was released, and then I kind of gave it a break, and now I'm really happy to be coming back to it.
Your recording of this work, as you alluded to, is more than 10 years ago. So with what you know now, if you could go back in time and speak to a younger Hilary Hahn who was about to record this work, I'm wondering what you might tell her.
It's hard to do that because you have to go through the process in order to understand what you know later. And I see that with students. I don't teach myself, but sometimes I meet with students and I'll say something that to me makes perfect sense. And I can tell that to them it's not significant because they haven't gone through whatever it was that clicked that awareness into their minds. So I think as someone who works with younger musicians, it's important to try to pass these things on, but it's also important to realize that you're really just planting a seed. And the person has to interpret that like they interpret music, like they become their own person as they get older.
You literally learned this piece as it arrived?
Yeah. One faxed, curly, fading page at a time. Yeah, I hadn't heard anything from Edgar for a while, and the premiere was approaching. So I gave him a call, and I asked him, well, if he had the piece for me yet, because I'd like to start learning it. And he said, oh, I've written a minute of it. And I said, well, why don't you send me the minute and I'll start with that. So I learned the first minute or so of it. And then I called him and I was like, okay, I'm ready for the next bit. So he set the next few pages. And if there would be a while when I hadn't received anything, I'd give him a call. And I received most of these in hotel rooms, and it would kind of like come in late at night and be slipped under the door, and I'd hear the shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. And there would be this envelope of a few pages. But it was kind of it was great. It was a great way to receive it. Of course, there was no emailing PDFs of the score at that time, but receiving the pages one at a time, it made it very tangible, and it also made me feel like I was part of the development of the piece, so I could kind of see what had been done at the time it had been done. But it was a bit of a mess at the very end because I had a folder full of these curling fax pages that if I wrote on them and erased, I would take off half the ink or tear the paper. So it was really memorable, though. I think that tangible difference between that music and the other music I was working on, which was on, you know, thicker paper and actually printed and bound, made it very special. One thing I love about how Edgar wrote this concerto is it's open. There's room in it. It's not filled every single moment. And it's like if this were a picture, you would be able to see the whole thing at one glance. And I really appreciate that because it makes it really better for balance. The individual orchestra members can actually play up and contribute musically the way they want to. And I can do the same and no one is conflicting with anyone else. So it allows space for the listener to have his or her own interpretation and to kind of follow his or her own train of thoughts wherever they take them.
How do you suggest someone approach a contemporary piece of classical music such as this work?
Just listen to it. I don't think any impression is wrong. I don't think any impression is right or particularly knowledgeable. I think you know when you like something. And the thing to keep in mind is if you like something, there may be many different things you're liking. You may like the piece. You may like the performance. You may like the instrumentation. There are a lot of different elements to something that you hear. And I think it's important to remember that in reverse. If you don't like something, it's not that you don't like the piece per se or the performer per se. So I think you have to, if you don't like something, don't give up. You know, maybe try one of the other common factors in another context. Like if you don't like something, then you listen to the same performer play something else. And if you still don't like it, then maybe you give up on that performer and you listen to more pieces by that same composer. And you can kind of learn what you like that way. I really believe in training yourself to identify what you appreciate. People can say why something is great, but if you're not feeling it, it doesn't really matter. And conversely, if people say something isn't that fantastic and you love it, well, music should be loved. So just keep listening and keep appreciating. We need all of the people out there to have their own individual opinions so that there is room for all of these different composers and different performers to do their craft and be appreciated.